Welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the Central Catskill region. Margaretville Hospital has been expanding its ambulatory care services over the past couple of years. And here in the studio with me are two of the nurses who work in that service. Vicki Meisner is the ambulatory manager and a registered nurse. And I understand that actually you have received just received an award both for the ambulatory service and for your leadership, Vicki.
That's correct.
Good. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
And then I have with me April Brinberry, who is a registered nurse, also working in ambulatory care. Thank you for coming in today, April.
Thank you for having us.
Great. So let's start. For transparency purposes, I'm on the board of Margaretville Hospital. And my husband used one of these ambulatory care services, and it was absolutely outstanding, and I'll say more about that in a moment. But let's start by talking what the aims of the ambulatory care service are. And Vicki, let me start with you.
Okay. So right now we're trying to get out into the community and explain that we're there. A lot of times people say they didn't know that we could provide some of the services that we're trying to provide in our suite. We do infusion services, wound care, and then once a month in cooperation and partnership with Dr. Dodd, we do a colonoscopy clinic. So we're trying to really expand what we do in that space. So we're encouraging people, primary care individuals, to reach out to us and see if it's something that we can do.
So the hospital's had ambulatory care services for a while, but my sense is there's this effort to expand those services. Is that right?
It is. We have been looking at, as nurses, what our scope of practice is. And so we are extensions of the providers in the community. We work with providers all the way to the city. We have snowbirds that we work with providers all the way to Florida. And so what we do is they ask, what we've been encouraging, I think what's different is throw something at us, right? We have family members reaching out to, you know, we're traveling all the way to the city to do this. Is this something we could do there? And that's, I think, what is different now is that we look to reach out to our pharmacy. We figure out, okay, is this within our scope of practice as an extension of the providers? Can we provide this service here? So I think that's what's different. That's always been there. Wound care and infusion in the clinic. But even with Dr. Dodd, we're looking at how can we provide other things that his patients need, that particular diagnosis, immunizations, things like that, that he would like to see them have.
So Dr. Dodd is the gastroenterologist.
Correct.
Who does the endoscopic work. But it's just the colonoscopies, not endoscopies.
We do endoscopies as well.
Oh,
so we
okay.
do both. So we are a screening facility. And recently he asked, and the primary care doctors next door also are asking, we'd like people to have immunizations, right? We can send them off to a CVS, but a lot of them have series, such as the hepatitis A and B, right? You need to get your initial dose 30 days later and then 6 months later. And a lot of people tend to not follow up with that. It falls off. You're self-directed to go to CVS. You may not do it, but can we partner with them to make sure that people are completing their series? So that's something different.
Great.
It's always been something somewhat available at the ambulatory unit, but now we're really talking with providers. You know, let us help you be successful with your patients. So let us track that series. Let's communicate, hey, they didn't follow up. What can we do to make this successful? So that's a little different, too.
And the ambulatory service is located where?
So we are located on the second floor.
Of the hospital.
At the hospital. So we're right next to the medical unit, and we're also adjacent of the ER. So what's nice is we are able to kind of have the support of all the people around us, too. So a lot of times people, providers or people interested in our service, come walk through our suite, and they're like, wow, this is quite the setup here. We didn't realize this was even a part of the hospital. So that's something, even providers who are like, you're an extension of us. We're putting a lot of faith in you. And then they realize, wow, we're connected to the ER. If something were to happen, we have that level of support with us all day long, where most outpatients are standalone and have to call an ambulance. So we're, you know, very fortunate to be right connected as our suite to the ER if anything, you know, should happen. So we're great. Very fortunate.
Great. So, April Brumberry, let me ask you about the infusion service. So tell people what infusion means and what kind of infusions you do.
Yeah. So we do an array of infusions. At the infusion center, we service, you know, subcutaneous injections, intramuscular injections. We also do intravenous medications as well. We are slightly limited. We don't do chemotherapies just because of where we are, and the pharmacy can't provide that. And it's always nice to have more support for something like that. But, you know, outside of that, we do a lot. We do iron infusions. We can do port flushes for those patients that are on chemotherapies. And, you know, in between their sessions, they don't want to do all that traveling. So they want to be able to stay close to home. We can manage that port for them.
So that has to be flushed in between treatments?
It does. And it varies. Sometimes it's 6 months. Sometimes it's 6 weeks. Sometimes it's 12 weeks, really, depending on what the doctor will order. But it saves that patient from having to travel to a bigger city or a longer distance.
And let me just add in here that I just learned that April actually worked for some time at Memorial Sloan Kettering, so she knows of what she speaks here around oncology care. And I didn't understand why we didn't do IV chemo, because people had really asked me about that. Why doesn't the hospital do that? And I wasn't aware that the pharmacy doesn't have, you have to have specialized places to prepare that. Is that right?
You do have to have specialized places to prepare it. Your nurses have to be certified to give it. It's definitely beneficial to have a doctor in your suite as you're giving it. A lot of chemotherapies have different reactions, and that's something you really want to be able to manage in that moment at that time. So currently it's not something that we offer up in Margaretville.
But my understanding is that you provide immunotherapy.
We do provide immunotherapy. We've got patients that come in monthly. We've got patients that come in quarterly, and they all vary in their needs and their medications. Some of them, like I said, are just subcutaneous injections. Some of them, we are doing the education part of it in hopes of transitioning this patient to be able to continue their treatment at home. So we'll provide the first 1 to 3 treatments, monitor these patients, educate them really on the side effects they're looking for, how to give the medication, where they can give the medication, and making sure they are compliant and able to do this treatment at home.
And who's getting this immunotherapy? Why do you do immunotherapy?
You do it for all sorts of reasons. Sometimes you've had your spleen removed and your immune system's just not working as efficiently because of that. So we give immunoglobulins, which supports, you know, your body in preventing infections otherwise. Sometimes we've got ulcerative colitis. We do infusions for that, that help kind of tampen down those symptoms that patients are having.
Do you also do, though, the immunotherapy that's being used for cancer treatment, or would that be considered chemotherapy?
That's actually a great question that came up earlier today, and we are looking into it.
So there are a lot of supportive therapies while people are getting chemotherapy, and sometimes they're not on the day that they get the chemotherapy. So we're going to look to seeing how we can expand. Here's another opportunity. Yeah. It was at the Delhi Market, our partner in crime up there. sent us a text and said, hey, I have somebody here asking about this. And we started shooting out in every direction this morning. Hey, could we get this? Hey, could we do this? What is our role as nurses in this? So that's what we're talking about, the expansion. Great. It literally just people throwing something out at us so that we can take the opportunity to say, this is something new to the suite, but let's see what we can do. And there are so many things out there on the market now that are just expanding leap and bound to help people get through chemotherapy, to support their blood cells, to support with some of the other side effects. So, and they're done through infusions or injections. So we're looking to do that.
Good, good.
Yes.
So any other kinds of infusions that you
We do infusions for osteoporosis. Most of those are once a year injection, but typically it's the cost and the compliance that requires them to come in to a center to have it done. A lot of these new medications, they are very expensive, and the insurance companies, since they're paying for it, they want to make sure that it's done the proper way, that the medication is stored the right way, and that it's given the right way.
Oh, interesting.
We also currently treat for migraines. There's a lot of really fantastic new infusions out there, new treatments for, things that people have tried alternative medications for and may have failed. It's not working as effectively as it once was, or it's just not working at all. They're looking for something new. So we currently have a patient that's receiving migraine infusions, and they come in 4 times a year. Wow. And there's been a reduction in the migraine days per month because of it, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Another fantastic one that I'm so excited about is a medication that we're giving for Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's.
I know.
Say more about that.
It's amazing.
The big thing was it's not a cure, and it has to meet certain criteria, but it's still now a resource. And what we've seen in the patient and their family is hope. And it's a strict regimen that they need to follow, but it's another option that wasn't out there and is showing some success and really slowing it down. So a true Alzheimer's diagnosis with the proteins that are deposited in the brain, this particular infusion actually works on slowing that process down. So there are MRIs.
Breaking those proteins up.
And then breaking it up, and then there are MRIs that are sequenced through the infusion to see how that is progressing.
Wow.
So it is a newer treatment. It's not, a cure, but it definitely gives some hope out there.
It's fascinating. And it's a big commitment with the treatment. So the medication that we're currently using, it's an every 2-week infusion. Obviously recommended, ordered by your neurologist, and their strict follow-up. And it's given for a course of 18 months. At the end of that 18 months, if the treatment has been successful and the patient is seeing good results, they can transition to home injections. But those first 18 months is an IV infusion that they would come to the center for. And infusions are about an hour. And it's great. You get your own private room. You watch some TV. We chat and catch up online. And off you go to enjoy the rest of your day in this beautiful mountainside. But it's great. It's really nice to see that there's just something there to offer more hope.
So one of the takeaways that I'm hearing here is that if there's somebody in the community who's been diagnosed with a certain condition or has been moved to a different treatment, and that treatment is either an injection or an infusion of some kind, you have to do this repeatedly, they may want to reach out and just say, do you do this? Can I have this done locally instead of traveling to Kingston or to New York City or to Oneonta.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. We have people that are being referred from Albany rather than going up to Albany to do that. So we are, you know, we're working with specialty pharmacies that are, what is nice is Margaville has that pharmacy. So that specialty pharmacy is mailing the medication to our pharmacy, who is ensuring it's handled properly. It's being processed properly for us to infuse, whether it's an injection or a regular IV infusion, which is nice also. So we're getting very creative, right, within staying within our boundaries, but getting creative to figure out how to meet the needs of people not having to travel so far.
Yeah.
And what the nice thing is, a lot of our patients keep their provider and still see them maybe their two visits a year, but in between are coming to us for something they would have to travel hours and give up their day for. We do phlebotomy also. A lot of people don't think about what, you know, phlebotomy, where we're drawing off because people have various diagnoses.
Right, like they make too much ferritin within their blood.
Huh.
Yeah, which can lead to organ damage. So, you know, they have to get monthly labs, and then you have to remove a certain amount of blood. It's like donating blood, but, you know, for a different reason.
So this is not getting the lab work. It's actually with taking blood out of the body.
Yep.
It is.
Yep. Do you remove the cells and then put the plasma back in?
We don't.
You don't.
Nope. Everything comes out. And
the doctor gives us an amount that he'd like to see drawn off, and then it's discarded at that point as,
unfortunately it is discarded because, you know, there's a reason that they have too much blood and it's not something you can donate to another person, unfortunately, but, you know, it's what keeps them healthy.
Yep.
Great.
Some other things that we do with the infusion department, we do long-term antibiotics. We're seeing a ton of long-term antibiotics, be it for chronic urinary tract infections that patients are hospitalized for and acutely they're treated, but now the course of their antibiotics, say, is another 6 weeks. They're healthy enough to go home, but they need that daily infusion of the antibiotics. They can come in to see us. Yep. We'll give the infusion, and then they get to go back home, which instead is fantastic.
Instead of staying in the hospital to do
it. You know, or Lyme disease, which was huge last year. We saw so many patients with Lyme disease by the end of the season with significant symptoms. Some of them would come into the emergency room with stroke-like symptoms.
Yes.
Bell's palsy, paralyzed on the side of a face, mental changes, thinking
vision
they
loss.
Had a stroke, and it turned out it was Lyme disease.
Yeah. And what are they, is it IV doxicillin?
It's different. They can do IV doxicillin, but off the top of my head, I'm drawing a blank on the antibiotics specifically that we've treated them with, but it is a once daily, and it's for a period of 6 weeks. So some of these patients, once they've been transferred, they've obviously been inpatient to start, so we're just continuing the treatment.
Yeah.
But it is, and a lot of them see significant improvement in the symptoms by the time the treatment is done, if not, symptoms have resolved completely.
Yeah.
Now, I want to shift and talk a little bit about the wound care issue, because my husband is...
Oh, we love wound care. You see that
about
that.
We were joking today. Somebody said, I get excited about flowers, and we were like, your rose, our wound.
Well, as listeners may recall, I've been listening for a while. My husband used the wound care program there, and it was really outstanding. This is when Alita Hunter was still there, and I forget Julia's last name.
Halverson. They have very big shoes to fill, for sure.
Yes. So it was sort of like the best-kept secret in my book. And I had to get a surgeon to make the referral, and he didn't want to make it. He was down in the city and felt like, no, I'm not going to refer to a wound care program up in the rural area. And I got my primary care provider here to make that referral. And it really was just really good and really helpful. He had been seen by the surgeon and told the wrong thing to do. It's called wet to dry dressings on a chronic wound.
No.
That Alita told me, yeah, no, you don't do that because you're tearing off the new tissue that's getting laid down and then making it a full recovery.
Each time.
So tell us, and you're certified in wound care, Vicki.
Yep.
So tell us about the wound care.
You know, the big thing, and it sounds so cliche, and I just recently recertified, and someone comes to us, and they talk about the hole in the body, and you really have to look at the whole body, the whole person. And we're fortunate enough, I say it all the time, we're lucky to be in Margaretville, where we do spend that time. And we think about and we get these referrals for individuals to stay in their community. And we're looking for best practice. And we're looking to see within our scope what we can do to help them heal. We see all kinds of things. Surgical wounds gone wrong. We see chronic wounds, you know. And maybe our goal, even with the chronic wound, you know, venous stasis, right? A lot of the edema and swelling in the legs. And they end up with the blisters or diabetes, you know, a big one. You get the neuropathy, and an individual gets an injury and they don't know they have an injury and now it's gone into a infected wound. And so the goal might be with some of these wounds to help them stay out of the ER, to get some quality of life. We may deal with that wound for a couple of years or so, but they're walking again. Mm-hmm. That might be the goal. Mm-hmm. Instead of completely healing the wound, it may be they're getting active in their life again. Mm. And I can say with pride that we've watched people come in with these wounds and get their life back. Baking again, crafting again, going out in the community again.
Walking outside of the home.
So wound care to us is so, we both bounce off of each other, like, what do you think? And then we'll get the patient involved. What worked for you? What didn't work? You know, those kinds of things. Like, really enthusiastic. We come in there and people laugh at us. The patients laugh at us all the time. April will open her and go, oh, it's beautiful. Or she'll go, oh my God, that's a gorgeous wound. And we're so excited to get in there and just, you know, make it heal. It's the crazy, you know, different, you know, tools, freak accidents that happen. And we joke all the time, surgeons are great for surgery. They're not the best for wound care.
No.
We have patients go to surgeons' offices. We have these very complicated,
very
beautiful dressings on them. And they come back and they're like, the doctor didn't know how to put it back together.
Oh my gosh. So it's not formulaic. You really look at who this person is, what may work. We try different things.
It is. You know, nobody wants to have a wound and have to go for treatments, you know, between 1 to 3 times a week. And it's going to vary depending on what's going on. But you really want to prepare them for tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, what caused this wound? I mean, if it's trauma, it's great. We heal it. You move on. We never see each other. But when you've got something chronic, you know, you sometimes do heal those chronic wounds, but it's going to come back at some point again. So what can we do to prevent it?
Yeah.
You know, what's causing the legs to be swollen? What does your diet look like? What kind of supplements are you taking?
Mm-hmm.
Has your lab work been checked recently?
Yeah.
How much activity are you getting? How much rest are you having?
What are you eating? What are you drinking? How much sunlight are you getting? How happy are you? Like, depression, chronic illness is depressing. So what are you doing? You know, how can we help, kind of thing. The other thing that people kind of always give us a little side eye about is, we're big users of medical grade honey.
Yes.
We are huge fans, and everybody's like, oh boy, what did we get into in Margaretville? And we've had so many people say, we went on Amazon and got it. We've told our friends what you do with medical grade honey. I want to become a beekeeper because of medical grade honey. It saved my life, medical grade honey. So we joke, we just tell people, you can't buy it off the shelf. It's got to be medical grade.
And what's medical grade mean?
So it's handled in a very specific way. We don't want anybody to get botulism. And there is a way that the honey needs to be processed and maintained.
And sterilized.
And sterilized.
Just to make sure that botulism toxin's not present.
Yeah. So we emphasize the medical grade, but we are huge fans. We have tackled some huge cases because people didn't want people to cut them. And so that medical grade honey did...
Cleaning up wounds is
miracles.
Fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
Great. I think I need to have you both back and talk, do a deep dive on the wound care because I when I get a cut, I do things that most people don't know about. And I've talked about this before, but it's been several years. But the what we know about how the body heals wounds, I think everybody needs to know about.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make you all promise to come back on and talk about this sometime.
Absolutely.
We
will be back.
All right. So I want to know if people want to schedule an appointment or talk with you about my physician has ordered this IV for me. Can you do this? How do they?
April's going to give you the number.
Absolutely. So our number, and it goes right to our office, so you don't have to worry about a choose one or choose two option.
Great.
It's 845-517-6344.
One more time.
845-517-6344.
And that was April Brimberry, a registered nurse who works in the ambulatory care services at Margaville Hospital. Thank you so much, April, for coming into Health Center in the Catskills today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Yes.
This is fantastic.
And I want to thank Vicki Meisner, the manager. I don't like ambulatory manager. It sounds like you're walking around. I would say you're the queen of the ambulatory care services.
Thank you. I always say if I were queen for the day,
yes.
Nursing would rule the world.
Yes. Well, I'm really impressed with the work that you're doing. I think the hospitals and the community is very fortunate to have you both. And thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
And you're going to come back, right?
We will.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in here.